Blog Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are so excited to have all of our listeners from all across the World Wide Web. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you. We hear from you all of the time, and we thank you so much for checking out the show. We're excited to kick off 2009 with this wonderful segment called Living Single, as my intro music alluded to. So we're just excited, and I know you want to get this party started. Hey, to keep up to date with all the great shows and wonderful interviews we have lined up for you, make sure you visit my official website, which is www.mitchell-productions.com. Again, that's www.mitchell-productions.com. And if you have an iPod, guess what? You can go to the iTunes store and search for Charvette, that's Charvette, under the podcast section, and you can click on subscribe, and you can have the show downloaded to your iPod for free. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's just wonderful. Okay, so listen, my listeners, you know the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and today I'm telling you we have a wonderful show lined up for you. Again, this is the Living Single segment. So in my virtual studio, I have my guests here and a wonderful panel lined up, and I think we need to get this party started. So let's go ahead and kick things off with Living Single. Ladies and gentlemen, he is back by popular demand. You heard him on the show, What Do Men Really Want? He is the assistant pastor of Fresh Anointing International Christian Ministries out of Herndon, Virginia. Coming to the mic first is Elder Justin Moore. Welcome to the show, Elder Moore.
Thank you so very much. I'm so happy to be here with you, to be back. And I guess it's a good thing when you're back by popular demand.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you so very much. You put me on the map.
How about that? Well, we're glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
All right. Next coming to the mic, she is the party. I'm telling you, she's the life of any party. She is a real estate agent and a real estate consultant all the way from Richmond, Virginia. Coming to the mic now is Elaine White. Welcome to the show, Elaine.
Thank you so much, and bless you guys for having me. And party over here.
All right. We ready. All right. Great. The next gentleman we have coming to the mic is from Virginia Beach, Virginia. He is the pastor of Kingdom Life Ministry, where their motto is, It Only Gets Better. You guys, welcome Pastor Richard Groover to the show. Welcome, Pastor Groover.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
All right. No problem. We have two other young ladies that are going to be joining us shortly, and I believe we have someone in the green room right now. Do I have Evangelist Joyce or Keisha on the line?
Hi, everyone. It's Keisha.
Hello, Keisha. Welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you for having me, Charvette.
Oh, you're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, Keisha is a marketing consultant and a warm spirits consultant, and she is from Richmond, Virginia, by way of Lynchburg. You know, we got to give a shout out to Lynchburg, Keisha.
Right, L.A., Lynchburg.
All right. All right, and we may have one or two other guests joining us. So let's go ahead and start. Living Single in 2009. I'm going to actually toss the ball to Pastor Groover first. And I want to hear kind of the male perspective. What do you think, how do you think men view living single differently than women view living single?
I think that generally speaking, because, of course, depending on where men are in their life and their age and whether they save or unsave, but generally speaking, I believe most men view living single as freedom.
Okay.
Ultimate freedom. They get to come and go. They ain't got to answer nobody. Nobody asking them questions. You know, they can leave their shoes in the middle of the floor. Their life is, everything is up to them. But women, on the other hand, they view living single as living single still. Like, I haven't yet committed to a relationship or nobody has gone after me, you know, and I'm not in a secure relationship, because I believe that it's the natural desire of a woman to be in a secure, loving relationship, while men are settled down. They got to be caught, you know, they got to be caught and wrestled, you know. Well, not when they get the right woman. The right woman will catch a man.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, men just think of living single as being free.
Wow, great explanation. And you know what? I'm going to talk about Akeisha next. I think a lot of things have changed over the years of how we see living single, and especially now we're in 2009. The dating scene, definitely things are a lot different. Keisha, how would you say that dating is different from, say, 10 years ago?
I think that society has different values nowadays, and also changing social conditions,
mm-hmm.
and these things are shaping the nuances of dating today. There's no more courting, chivalry is dead, you know, I think it's a lot of that has to do with women who aren't, you know, uniting and saying, we ain't putting up with this crap no more, you know.
Right.
We want our doors open, we want flowers, we want things that we used to get, you know, 10 or 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Everything now is just, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We get to know each other in 2 weeks, you know,
right.
And then we're doing things that we wouldn't have done, you know, 10 or 15 years ago until marriage.
Right.
And that along with the social networking, you know, the internet dating where you're on there and you're meeting people across the world, and some of the, you know, so you have access to things that we didn't have back then,
right?
Along with the values that are changing. So,
since you brought up internet dating and meeting people online, I think we need to go there for a second. So, I want to know from the panel, what do you all think about? And I think internet dating is separate from meeting people online. So when I hear the term internet dating, I think of people who maybe have long term, they're emailing for a long time or texting or chatting for a long time before they meet or talk. Whereas meeting online, I kind of see in my mind is you see somebody's profile, they see your profile, you may exchange two or three emails and you exchange numbers, and then traditional dating starts from there. What does the panel think about internet dating or meeting someone online? Everybody's like, I'm not going first.
Well, I'll go.
Go ahead, Keisha.
Ladies first? Okay. It's not for me. But my best friends are doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I know people that are doing it, and they are loving it, but you know, what I hear people say, and I actually went on one of my girlfriend's sites, and her picture that was out there, I'm like, girl, where was that? Girl, that was like 10 years ago. So a lot of the things that are out there, people are building like a fantasy portfolio for themselves. And so you don't know who you're talking to, really, when you're on there. So I'm not interested in it, but there are millions of people that do it, so I don't knock it. You know?
And actually, we have someone in the chat room who just made a message that they met their husband on Craigslist 8 years ago, and they are still happily married. So,
All right.
Interesting. Any other comments about internet dating or meeting online?
I would like to comment on that. I think that, like anything else, it got is positives and negatives. The negative thing about it is, like I believe Keisha said, is that you don't know. You can't see them. So you don't know if you're talking to somebody in Africa or the man upstairs who's supposed to be a woman. You don't know. But the positive thing about it is I believe that, especially for Christians, that a lot of times we're not out there in the places where you're supposed to be at to meet people. You know, either our churches, there's not a variety to pick from, to choose from in the churches we go to, or our churches are so big that nobody really knows each other on that level to even try to do something like that. But if your time, I believe anything, if you take your time, the truth will come out. And so if you take your time and do it in a safe manner, like you said, internet dating, you know, they got different sites available now, that if you take your time and get to know people, certain things that come up in conversation and it'll come up later again, and you'll remember something they said earlier. So I think as long as you apply wisdom and don't act foolishly, it could be a good thing.
Okay. Any other comments on that? What about blind dates? Has anyone been on a blind date before?
Yeah.
Would you like to share? Was it a trauma story?
Oh, my God. Why did he get arrested? Okay.
Okay, so you have to share that.
That definitely killed my whole idea of thinking about doing a blind date. But to make a long story short, we went on a date. He was double parked. And instead of him pulling into a parking space, he decided he was going to double park. The cops pulled up behind us, ran his plate. He had a warrant. He called me back and let me know everything was ironed out. But I had to take his keys, move his car, park his car, bring him to the precinct. All right, so he wouldn't, because his car was going to be towed away.
Did he get a second date?
This was the first date, okay?
He said, did he get a second date?
Oh, no. Oh, you know what? Let me back up. He called me about maybe 3 months afterward and asked me, did I know where he could get baptized?
Wow.
And I took the brother to church in New Kent, and he got baptized. He said he wanted to be baptized, but he didn't want to join a church.
Mm.
So Second Liberty Baptist Church baptized him, blessed him, and that was the last time I saw him.
Wow. So who set up the blind date?
A friend of ours.
Okay.
So a friend of mine that knew him and knew me and thought, oh, you know what, this might be a good match.
Interesting.
To say, I gave her some feedback.
For future reference.
I thought, you know what, maybe this is God's way of me helping him move forward with his journey.
Wow. Life, you never know what life brings you.
You never know. So I'm definitely not an advocate of blind dating myself. But
okay. So a lot of times I think singleness can have negative connotations, if you will. Elder Moore, what are the positives of being single in this day and age?
Charvette, I think that's a great question. I think when you think about all of the opportunities that are available in this day and time, you think about, when you're single, you have more time to pursue, you know, your goals or your dreams. And I don't want to shed a negative light on having a partner or, you know, someone that you're dating or married to. But I think when you're single, it just makes it a little bit easier, I guess, you know, when you're pursuing your dreams and pursuing your goals, to do it, in a single lifestyle, it's a little easier for you, I guess. I want to, because I've never been married.
Okay.
But I guess it's just a little easier. You have more time on your hands. You don't have to run anything by anybody, you know, to disagree and say, well, you know, we may have to consider this or consider that. So I think when you think about the positives, there are negatives, but I think when you think about the positives, I think it's just a little easier to pursue some of your dreams and your goals, and when you have a little bit more time on your hands that you don't have to devote to someone, I think it's a little lighter on you.
Well said.
You know, in pursuing some of the things. And I hope I did not say that to offend anyone who has a partner or has a wife, because I believe there are great positives, to have someone to share those things with. But I think when you talk about, you know, time and opportunity and, I just think it's just a little lighter on you.
All right. Wonderful. Well said. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. We're so glad to have all of our listeners from all across the World Wide Web. And also we give a big shout out to those that are in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, so Elaine, I'm going to jump back to you. You and I were having a conversation a little while ago, and you were dating someone. This was a while ago, and you went to your mother's house, and your mother said to you, and I'm paraphrasing,
yes.
I don't know who you are, but when Elaine shows back up, you know, you let me know because I want to talk to her, because I don't know who you've changed into. So talk a little bit about what are warning signs that people should look at or be conscious of that when they get involved or date people and they may be the wrong type of person. What are the warning signs?
I think one of the first things is the bell should go off when you find yourself trying to be somebody that you're not inside and you're putting on a false face. you find yourself walking down streets that, okay, this is not me, but mm-hmm. I want to do this because I want to make my partner happy. When you find yourself out of character and you're not living the life that you should be, I tried to be calm and quiet and conservative. That wasn't me.
No,
I'm lovely.
It's not.
I have a lot of personality, and I tried to be somebody I wasn't. And then the people that were close to me that could see that, even though they were telling me, well, I didn't want to hear that because I was in love.
Right.
And this is what my man wanted. You know, so I say that with a caution of things like having to make excuses for justifying why he does things to other
mm-hmm.
people. Oh, well, he does that because he loved me. He's going to take me to Hawaii with my eye healed. You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being abused, being mischaracterized, constantly being criticized negatively,
mm-hmm.
and being shut off from your family, shut off from your friends, somebody that just wants to be with you and nobody else and doesn't want you to go anywhere, 13 phone calls a day, being tracked down. Those are some serious signs that things may not be all that they're cracked up to be.
All right. Anyone else on the panel want to talk about warning signs that you have maybe observed from other people or in your life of being involved maybe with the wrong type of person? What are the warning signs?
And let me just
wow.
say this. I just want to add abuse of any kind, with,
mm-hmm.
whether it's physical, mental, medical, spiritually, because you have some people that don't want you to go to church and don't want you to pray to God. Why you always got to be praying to God? Those are some clear-cut signs of abuse. And I don't think most people realize that verbal abuse is also abusive. You know, with somebody constantly puts you down, you can't do this. Oh, you're not good enough to do that. You shouldn't do that. You're stupid. You know, things like that. So I think that those are clear-cut, some additional clear-cut signs.
Agreed. All right, so Pamela, what if, let's say in this kind of on the same lines or going down that same path, let's say you have a single friend who is involved with someone that you think is questionable. Maybe their actions, their character is questionable. Do you say something to them? And if you do say something, you know, what do you say? Or do you kind of just fall back and say, you know what, I'm going to just let this play out, you know, and see where this goes? What do you all say?
Wow, that's it. Go ahead, Keisha.
So I have a couple of girlfriends that, you know, we kind of watch each other and we have each other's backs and, you know, dating and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And we're close. So, of course, you do everything in love.
Right.
But if, you know, if we're talking and, you know, we're saying something that sounds foreign about, you know, our mate or date or whatever, then we'll say, is it your Boaz or is it just your, you know, it ain't the bow.
Right.
And so, but it's in a loving way.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, when I think about, yeah, you got the bow, but it's, you know.
Right.
Is it your Boaz or is it just the other one? And
right.
So if you do it out of love, I think it's great, but you have to let the person make their own decisions. I mean, you can't be like, well, I told you so when it crumbles or if it does, you know, it's always out of love. And I think that we all respect each other when you can get that opinion, you know, in love. And, you know, because you don't, sometimes we're blind when we go into things, you
right.
know, we go in with our nose wide open. So we need our girlfriends or our mothers or our sisters, you know, or our aunties who can say, you know, you need to open your eyes a little
right.
bit. You know, and pay attention.
Great.
So,
Elder Moore, your comment?
Well, I think that it's such a touchy subject
mm-hmm.
When you talk about
yes.
intervening in relationship, because I think that no matter how close you are to someone that you call, you know,
mm-hmm.
a dear friend or friend, I think when you're in relationships, sometimes it has a tendency to make give the undertone of, you know, maybe you might be jealous or
mm-hmm.
there are different components that come in when even a dear or best friend, you know, will try to intervene. And I've seen on many levels how, you know, clearly from the outside, it looks very, very bad and it looks volatile and it looks abusive and, you know, it looks like, you know, they're being taken advantage of. And when the other party or the friend tries to say something,
mm-hmm.
you know, they immediately become defensive.
Right.
And they begin to defend the other person, you know, the other part of the party in the relationship. And you don't want to jeopardize, I think, you have a responsibility, first of all, as a friend, to, you know, protect your friend, but you don't want to jeopardize, I guess, your friendship.
Right.
And things have a way of playing themselves out. Once you have, you know, done very sensitively, once you have done your job as a friend to say, hey, maybe you want to look out, there's a red flag, and I'm not trying to impose,
mm-hmm.
but there is a red flag that you might want to look out. You know, I'm concerned about you, I care for you, and I just want you to just pay attention. I'm not telling you to break up with him or her tomorrow,
right.
but I just want you to pay attention and look at the little things. And, you know, over time and through prayer, I believe that you know, things will fall in the right place, you know, prayerfully. But I think it's such a touchy subject when you talk about intervening, even as a friend,
yes.
intervening in relationships, you know, with people that are your friends.
Oh, right. And actually, I think we have a caller on the line. Caller ending in 1712. You are live and on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Do you have a comment or question?
I'm listening at this point, my dear beloved.
Oh, right. Well, thank you so much for joining in. All right. Anyone else want to comment on that?
I wanted to comment on that because
sure.
it is a thin line that you have by being the friend that knows or being the person that is being deceived and you find out that your friends knew and they didn't share it with you.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is a real – because you, the person that knows is almost damned if they do, they're damned if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because when they come back and they find out, oh, you know, you knew this and you didn't tell me. And then if you say something and the person's already over the line where they're like, oh, my man wouldn't do it. How dare you tell me? And then she goes and tells the man or the woman, and
right.
they come back to you. So I think that you have to really be cognizant and careful, as Pastor said, of how you handle it. For me, I love you. I'm going to tell you out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say it. And I would be, the way I am now, I would say it in front of you and your man. And if I saw him, I'd be like, you know what? You know my girlfriend, your wife is my girlfriend, and I don't think this is right. I'm going to tell her. So he would know where it came from.
All right.
Or I would sit them both down and say, I love you both. Here's what I know. Whatever you guys do, I just don't want to be in the middle of it. I'm finished, and I'm out.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, and we are in our Living Single segment. I have a wonderful, wonderful panel that you are listening to. You are hearing right now on your radio, you are hearing Elder Justin Moore from Herndon, Virginia. You are hearing Pastor Richard Groover, Elaine White, and Keisha Brown. Okay, so Pastor Groover and Elder Moore, both of you being preachers, my goodness, certainly there are additional challenges that you all face being single. What are those challenges?
Well, Pastor Groover, I'm going to relay that to you, and then I'll bounce off of your intellect.
I will tell you one of my biggest challenges of being single as a preacher is that a lot of women are unknowingly attracted to the anointing and not me.
Right.
Because,
wow.
you know, women, they're in church, and a woman that loves the Lord want nothing more than to have a godly man. And so
right.
here's a man that has a standard of holiness. He proclaims the gospel. He speaks the word. You know, he becomes so attractive.
Right.
And so undoubtedly, if I go, I run across a woman, either the Lord has told her I was her husband, or, you know, I've been thinking my whole life that I'm going to be a preacher's wife. Everybody can't be the preacher's wife. You know?
Right.
But that's one of the – and so sometimes what happens is, and so the enemy, he knows how to attack you at your point of weakness.
Right.
And so if you are in a place of weakness or you're in a place of being vulnerable and you get and you come in contact with one of these type of women who are attracted to you and not your anointing – I mean, who are attracted to your anointing and not you,
right.
then now the door comes open for there to be a misunderstanding or somebody getting their feelings hurt or things happening that shouldn't happen because they don't have the right agenda.
I think it's so true. I've said for years that there is this, especially in the church, this perceived power. Anyone
mm-hmm.
in a position that there is a perception that there is power in the position,
sure.
women are drawn to. It could be a drummer who is, you know, ugly as the bottom of your shoe. I mean, but he's going to have five women waiting, you know, to talk. Not that I know any drummers that are ugly as Barma Shoe. That's certainly an illustration, and beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But you all understand what I'm saying. It isn't even about your looks. It's about the perceived power. So I totally agree with your comment. So, Elder Moore, what do you want to throw in on that?
You know what I think? One of the most difficult things for me, I think, is the expectation of people on you as a single preacher.
Mm.
That's, of course, getting older.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 30 now and have been single for some time. And so I think the expectation that, you know, you are supposed to, you know, be at a certain place at this point in your life, so the pressure is on, you know, the heat is on. You know, and everywhere you go, it may be, you know, I enjoyed your sermon. Why are you not married? You know, it's some type of comment that's made, you know, what's going on, you know,
right.
And then, you know, people start to cock an eyebrow to say, all right, you're 30, you know, you're single,
uh-huh.
You're not married, you're a preacher. What's really going on with
uh-huh.
you know? So I think there is pressure and expectation that comes with being a single person, but then if you throw being a preacher in the mix, there is definitely some added pressure to that. And, you know, like Pastor said, you get all types of, you know, I call it the baking cake lady. You know, it's just, you know, they come with the cake and, you know, what kind of cake, you know, what's your favorite food, you know, and they'll have it for you the next time they see you. You know, and it's their way of getting in. So, you know, it really takes the, you know, he that findeth a wife findeth
right.
a good thing. It really, you know, they're finding you these days. You know, and I think that there is a tremendous amount of pressure and expectation. I know on me, I can't speak for everybody, on
right.
me, as a single person that's getting older, you know, that's a preacher, and, you know, you go out and preach. I go out and preach a whole lot, but I do it enough to get some type of pressure,
right.
you know, on me to when you go out, you know, it's always that somebody's going to bring you the towel. He's not married. All right, you know.
That's right.
That's
what you call them.
You get your little, your mobile nurse's unit.
Right.
So, to some degree, we are human. And
right.
to some degree, you know, we feel that pressure. And, you know, sometimes we have to be very careful. I think as single men, we have to be very careful not to make a decision based on pressure and not go into something, you know, number one, not prayerfully, but not go into something, you know, that somebody has pushed you into based on pressure and because there's expectation and that you don't want to you don't want to do anything just because you want people to erase thoughts out of their minds about who you are
wow.
and about, you know, to judge you. People are going to talk anyway. So,
exactly.
You know, it behooves you to be very prayerful and not make a decision under pressure. So, you know, bottom line, there's a great amount of pressure and a great amount of expectation on single male preachers, you know, that are not in relationship.
All right. We are talking about living single in 2009. We're going to start winding down. I'm going to go to the ladies, and then I'm going to toss the same kind of question back to the men. Ladies,
yes.
Nisha and Elaine, what are some of the stupid, retarded, dumb mistakes that single men make, in your humble opinion?
Keisha, you go first because I'm going to make a list.
Oh, wow.
Be careful,
Keisha. We're still on the line.
Oh, let me see.
We have feelings,
I don't want to take up the remainder of the
talk. We have feelings, too.
Take your time.
Okay, one, making babies. I mean, always making babies.
And not
so
take
you're
care
not,
of them.
Yeah, okay, let me get that's part two. But just number one, I mean, if you know that eventually you want to settle down and get
right.
married, you know, in the near future, but right now you sow on your royal oats, you know,
uh-huh.
you have to consider the future. So I'm not saying, like, I'm a single, well, divorced mother of two.
Right.
So, you know, I have two children. I don't want somebody that's got four. You know, honestly, and so and you know, in your mid thirties, you do come, you know, into that kind of situation because, you know, you've had men out there that have been dating for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. and they just have the babies. And then, yes, part two, not taking care of your responsibilities once
wow.
you do have them. That's a turnoff to me. I don't care what kind of job you have. I don't care, you know, how many initials you have behind your name. I don't care. If you
right.
have children that you're not taking care of and 10, you know, and you
right.
and you're not the prince of Egypt, you know, no, I don't, I can't. You know, I can't breathe. I can't deal with that. So that's one of my, you know, pet peeves, I think.
That's good.
You know,
that's a great example.
Yeah.
Anything else, Keisha, before Elaine goes down her list?
Elaine, you can take it over. I may come back in, chime back in.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'm not going to beat up on brothers too bad because there are some really good brothers that are out there, my brother being one.
God bless
one.
You. God bless you.
And I know he takes care of business. He loves his family, and he's correct. But the problem that I see is number one, there's no grounded in self. In order for you to share yourself in a relationship, you have to know who you are as an individual. You have to be happy with who you are by yourself before you can really be happy with somebody else. People, I think, have the wrong understanding. They think that by being in a relationship makes me complete. I got to be complete by myself.
Right.
Because I'm in this world here by myself. I'm going to live and die by alone. If I'm not happy with me, just by getting with you, it's not going to make me happy.
Right.
I think that the first mistake is that they're not self-oriented and they don't know who they are as individuals. They're not making
right.
that connection with whoever, whatever their higher power, and with them themselves. They're not grounded. That is a systemic problem throughout anything that they do from then on, because then the lying, then the insecurity, the dishonesty, the no follow-up, the not being able to compromise, the expectation that I owe you something.
Wow.
All of that comes into place, and I truly believe that it centers around them not knowing who they are.
All right. That's it in a nutshell. Now, I've got to toss the same question back to the guys. Only got to be fair. So, gentlemen, what are the mistakes that single ladies make? And I don't know who wants to go first.
Go ahead, Elmore.
I have to agree with Elaine that I think that you enter into a relationship or maybe past relationship not knowing who you are, looking for definition from a man, and it in turn snowballs to future relationships because you develop hurt from past relationships because you're looking for yourself or somebody else to define who you are. And, you know, later relationships have to suffer because of those, you know, just the fact that you don't know who you are. I wholeheartedly agree with her that I think that is number one, that you have to really know who you are. You have to know who you are before you enter into, you know, before you bring anybody else into your space.
That's
you have to know, you know, your expectations, you know, yourselves, your likes and dislikes. And I think a lot of times, ladies, because you asked me the question concerning the ladies,
right.
a lot of times ladies enter into into relationships looking for definition, and you know, as a consequence, you know, get hurt. They get hurt, and things happen, and then you know later on down the line, you know, a good guy will come along, and you know, it just completely wipes us out the water.
Right.
And so you know, and then we have to suffer for that. So I think that you know, one of those tremendous mistakes that the ladies make is just entering into relationship or bringing someone into their space, not knowing who they are, and trying to look for someone else to define them or give them
justify,
what it is.
That's right.
Exactly, give them what it is that they should be looking for instead of knowing themselves. So,
all right. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. You heard it here live from some experts. Okay, I guess that leaves you, Pastor Groover. What is your comment on that?
My comment is I agree totally with Elder Moore, and that women, and my experience with women is that they, for one, many women haven't learned from their previous mistakes.
Okay.
You know, you have a girl that have a baby from a and he don't stick around. They have a baby from another man, and he don't stick around.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they continually, and I know women are nurturers, and they have a heart to love, but they continually do things too fast, too much too fast, to the wrong people. And so they're willing to give you everything, knowing that you the same type of man the last man was.
Wow.
And so they shouldn't be looking for a man to define them or to complete them.
Right.
And so I think that when they know who they are, and this is the reason why, you know, when I talk to somebody, I try to get inside their head. I need you to know who you are, not just who you are. I need you to know who you are in God.
Mm-hmm,
because
right.
when you know who you are in God, then certain types of people don't qualify to be in your space the way that they are. Certain kind of people you allow to get in your circle like that. Certain type of men,
right.
I don't care how good they are. I don't care how many six-packs they got. I don't care how tall and bald-headed they are. They don't qualify. They don't deserve to have you the way they want you. And so every man don't have that right. And so I think that we just need to take our time and walk with wisdom.
Right.
Walk with wisdom. I think that's the biggest thing. Walk with wisdom and don't want to. And I'm going to get off my soapbox. I'm just, please, don't be in denial. Don't be in denial. One of the biggest mistakes is not accepting what it is you see and what it is you feel. If you don't feel right, question it. God gave you that for a reason.
Right.
Even if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the people with the Spirit, we call it discernment. But people that don't, we call it a gut feeling. Go with your gut feeling.
And
right.
if you don't sell yourself short. You know,
that's
if,
right.
if it
that's
doesn't
right.
fit, don't force it. And
don't
it's like putting
it
on
right.
a size 7 shoe on a size 8 foot. It's going to hurt.
That's right.
All right. Wonderful. I'm telling you, I don't want to end this, but we got to stop. We got to stop. We're going to have to make this a reoccurring show. I know. We're going to have to make this a reoccurring show. Certainly, I thank all of my panel. You all have been outstanding. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and this wraps up our segment on Living Single. You just heard from a phenomenal panel, Elaine White from Richmond, Virginia.
Thank you.
Keisha Brown from Richmond, Virginia.
Love you.
Pastor Richard Groover from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Thank you.
And Elder Justin Moore from Herndon, Virginia.
It was a pleasure.
It was.
Oh,
nice
right.
meeting all of you.
Yes, likewise.
As well.
And if you missed any portion of this interview, no problem. All of the interviews are saved online as a podcast, so you can send the link to a friend. You can post it on MySpace, and it can be heard all across the World Wide Web. Ladies and gentlemen, until we meet again, peace and love.
God bless you.
Bless.
Bye.